We always feel fortunate to welcome Dr. Herbert Woodward Martin back to Around Cincinnati. He joins us by phone tonight. He is Professor Emeritus of English Literature at the University of Dayton. He's the author of at least 8 volumes of poetry and has received numerous awards for his poetry. He has spent many years studying, editing, and performing the works of Paul Laurence Dunbar. A documentary of Dunbar's life on our local public television stations shines a light on this exceptionally talented and prolific writer who was the son of slaves and grew up in Dayton, Ohio. Dr. Martin is featured in the documentary performing some of Dunbar's poems, as well as talking about his involvement with Dunbar's work. Dr. Martin, welcome to Around Cincinnati once again.
Well, thank you for inviting me. It's a pleasure to be here.
I would love for you to start by giving us a brief introduction, if you would, to Paul Laurence Dunbar, when he lived, the depth and breadth of his career, and how he made a living while he was writing.
Well, I think we must remember that he's born in 1872, and he dies in 1906. If we say he begins to write at 17 or 18 or 19 even, that gives him something like a decade and a half to write. And in that time, he wrote 12 books of poetry, 4 plays, of which only one survives, 4 novels, and, as I say, 12 books of poetry and a host of essays, which have yet to be all collected. So he had a rather busy life. It would seem that he writes day and night without ever sleeping, but he does have other things to do. He does travel. He does go to Europe. He does work, first of all, as an elevator operator, which gave him maybe $5 to $7 a week, and that helped him along the way until he manages to get a loan of $125, which allows him to publish Oak and Ivy. And that sets his career on the right road, which he manages by publishing more and more books each year, that he gets Dodd Mead to pick him up. And from that point on, the rest is literary history.
So if you would, I'm glad to say that you have brought a poem or two tonight. And one of the things that's interesting about Dunbar is that he writes in dialect as well as what we might call standard English.
Yes.
But also various forms. So tell us about this poem you're going to read, please.
I'm going to read you a poem which is titled Retort, and it is, I think, just in rhymes, more or less. And then I'll read it to you first, and then we can talk about it. Retort. Thou art a fool, said my head to my heart. Indeed, the greatest of fools thou art, to be led astray by the trick of a tress, by a smiling face, or a ribbon smart. And my heart was in sore distress. Then Phyllis came by, and her face was fair. The light gleamed soft on her raven hair, and her lips were blooming a rosy red. Then my heart spoke out with a right bold air, thou art worse than a fool, O head. Mm-hmm. And it seems to me it's such a lovely turn where both the head and the heart are battling about what is good, what is right, what is logical, and what is emotional.
An argument many of us go through often.
Yes, I thought perhaps maybe so, and that was why I thought the retort is really quite nice, because when the heart goes away kind of depressed and sad, but he has his revenge in the end, so
yes.
It's really quite nice.
When you think about Paul Laurence Dunbar, is there a characteristic that stands out for you? I'm just thinking that to survive, he had to work at such menial jobs. And
yes.
Nevertheless, he's got this unbounded talent.
Yeah, I think that part of it is his absolute persistence and dedication. He found something that he had been, shall we say, called to, and he devoted most of his living life and writing life to that call. And I think he had a remarkable ear because he could hear the everyday speech, and he was able to write that down, and he could also hear the music in the language, and he could write that down. And so it strikes me that he was just a gifted man all around, and so aims at just capturing the humanity of the people around him. And that is something of a great gift that very few of us have. But he had it, and he could hear it in the way in which everybody spoke daily, which we now call dialect. But it was the way in which he could best portray the humanity of the people who lived in his neighborhood. But he also heard the standard English and the lyricism in the motion of those poems is really quite touching. So I think he heard both things, and he heard them equally, and there's no separating the one from the other. I think they both are equal to the task that he undertakes.
I had the opportunity to view this documentary, and one of the things that really stuck with me was one of the scholars featured said that Negroes are always seeing themselves from the outside, through the eyes of others, as it were, and that Paul Laurence Dunbar portrays this in his writing, but he also brings the Negro back to himself or herself. Do you have some thoughts about that? That seems an amazing ability to me.
Yeah, there is a sense of that there is a kind of double consciousness going on, and that we, as African Americans, are aware both of the consciousness that we are perceived by and the consciousness and reality that we recognize as being that thing which is our own. We get it in people like Michael Harper. We get it in people like Toni Morrison. And certainly we get it in people like James Baldwin and Ralph Ellison, that double consciousness, that awareness, and that reality that we all face, shall we say. So that is tantamount, and one might say, looking quickly at the antebellum sermon, you can see that double consciousness as Dunbar plays off the sermon against what is actual and what is real and what is thought about and what is imaginary. And he plays those things off each other. And in the end, we come up with a rather remarkable joke about what slavery means and what it really is.
Well, as we close our time together tonight, I think you have another poem to share with us.
Yes, this is called A Choice. A Choice. They please me not, these solemn songs that hint of sermons covered up. 'Tis true the world should heed its wrongs, but in a poem let me sup. Not simples brewed to cure or ease humanity's confessed disease, but the spirit wine of a singing line or a dewdrop in a honey cup.
I thank you so much for being with us tonight. It's wonderful to have you bring Paul Laurence Dunbar alive for us in his words.
Well, thank you for the invitation, and it's always a pleasure to appear. And I hope that your audience hears and enjoys these poems, but even more goes to Dunbar to read other poems as well.
A remarkable man and writer. I've been talking with Dr. Herbert Woodward Martin, Professor Emeritus of English Literature at the University of Dayton, and Paul Laurence Dunbar Scholar. For more information, you can go to wvxu.org/aroundcincinnati. I'm Barbara Gray.
Towser, stop that barking, hear me? Manzie, make that child keep still. Can't you hear the echoes calling from the valley to the hill? let me listen. I can hear it through the brush of angels' wings. Soft and sweet, swing low, sweet chariot, when Melindy sings.